It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT the Brick.
All right, now we're number two of the show. Raiders coming off a really bad loss to the Carolina Panthers. Man, I didn't expect to say that on this Monday. This is the aftermath of that performance and your reaction to it. If you were at the game, if you went to the game with certain expectations, you didn't see certain things, you want to call out certain people, let me know. The coach spoke. The coach is having a big meeting coming up with the players. He had a big coaches meeting today. I think there's going to be a lot of accountability there, a lot of accountability, and the players are going to have to explain what happened when they have availability with the media. So that's all going to happen coming up here in the next couple of days. And then starting tomorrow, we'll look ahead to Cleveland. Cleveland's in a really bad place now. Remember that team that hasn't won since Jim Brown back in 1965? So they are really looking to win. Just like Carolina, they have to win. They have to win. So I call it a must-win game, and I don't say that too often. Sam Munson, kind enough to join us. We'll get to all of his work, his podcast, everything he's doing with the 33rd team. Sam, I want to start off with the reaction of the Cowboys' loss again. Back-to-back home games. Is it an overreaction, or are they just having their will tested because they don't seem to be tough? They have no identity on defense.
Yeah, and for a lot of years now, they haven't been able to stop the run, and they run up against a team like Baltimore who wants to run a lot, is prepared to really work at it with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, and has multiple threats coming out of that backfield, and they were able to just run all over Dallas. So, yeah, I think that run defense is a major, major problem. It's by far the worst run defense in the NFL through 3 weeks. The pass defense isn't fantastic either, and they're being kept out of, you know, must pass situations to unleash guys like Micah Parsons, and the defense is really struggling. And then the offense, you know, the other side of the ball, I think they're struggling with the players that they lost this offseason. This is kind of the consequences of their own inaction to replace players that left.
Yeah, I would agree with that because Mike Zimmer's defense and his past defenses are really tough. You know, Vic Fangio's defense. As you look at some of the best defensive coordinators in football, their defenses travel well, and that's their calling card. And I think you nailed it, that Jerry didn't do enough with depth at that position, and they just don't seem to have the fight to play that good. What'd you see with Dak on tape in that game? Because that's a game they really needed. How'd the offense look with Dak Prescott?
Yeah, I mean, I think Dak Prescott made some plays, but by the time he really started firing, the game was kind of out of hand and they were in trouble. You know, they were 14-3 down, I think, and Nate Wiggins, the rookie corner, forced a fumble on CeeDee Lamb, and when they were in the red zone, that could have turned the game flow. It could have changed it, made it a lot closer, and got Dallas right back into the contest. Instead, the Ravens get the ball back, and, you know, they avoid that disaster, and they end up extending the lead, and Dallas, by that point, we're just in too much of a hole to dig themselves back out of it.
Sam Munson is our guest. So, Sam, Antonio Pierce made a riveting viral response when he talked about some of his players making a business decision as they got blown out at home against Carolina. When you looked at the tape and the scheme there, do you have a sense of who he's talking about?
Not really. I mean, I think that's possible. I think it's kind of just directing your attention in the wrong direction. You know what I mean? Like, late in the game, they were completely beaten, they were defeated, things had gone terribly, and yeah, I think some heads started to drop and the Raiders didn't play well at the death. But I would be more concerned about what happened in the first half when they were trying hard and they were just getting destroyed. I mean, that's the bigger problem, is that Andy Dalton came in off the bench for this start this week and just absolutely lit this team up and destroyed them, and that's I think a way more concerning thing than once they were getting blown out by one of the worst teams in the NFL in the first couple of weeks, heads started to drop and they didn't necessarily put in 100% effort late on. I think that's a far bigger issue.
Sam Munson is our guest. Check the mic. Great job that he does. It's a great new podcast with Steve Palazzolo. You got to download it. Get all your information in one podcast. All the information is up there. Real quickly on the Colts win over the Bears, I mean, Caleb Williams threw it 52 times. They didn't want that at all. And the Colts had all those interceptions, and they got their running game going with Jonathan Taylor, who had 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. I got to think that's Indy's formula going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the run game needs to be how that offense functions, both with Jonathan Taylor, but Anthony Richardson needs to be a part of the design run game as well, a big part. You know, that combination can potentially do what Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson does in Baltimore and really give them the platform, and that will open things up even more for the pass game and try and give Anthony Richardson some shots that he can't really miss, you know, so wide open that he would struggle to miss them. But that's the key, because right now he is wildly inconsistent as a passer and really does need to be leaning on that run game.
The Giants win over the Browns. The Giants could have been 2-1 now, and you wouldn't have all this mass media in New York so critical of them when they were 0-2 by losing to the Commanders, which was a weird game statistically, and the kicking situation there. So the Giants get a win. How bad of a spot are the Browns in? And their offensive line and all their injuries. They got a lot of guys who got banged up in that game against the Giants, and guys who weren't even in that game because they were injured from weeks before.
Yeah, they're banged up. The offensive line is getting worse because of the injuries. But really the biggest problem there is the guy on the most money. It's Deshaun Watson, who continues to just play nothing like a top-tier quarterback. I mean, a week ago he had a good game, and we were debating whether it was the best performance he'd had as a Brown. But the two games either side of that have been terrible, and just shows a worrying degree of incapable play at the quarterback position. It was a 4th-and-1 where it was a simple slant on one side, and he couldn't read it. I mean, it was wide open. There was the coverage bust on the defense. They both went with the slant. They ignored the guy on the flat. It was 4th-and-1. It's an easy, simple, automatic read for the quarterback to just hit the guy in the flat, pick up the first down, extend the drive. Instead, he talked himself in and out of throwing the slant, ended up not forcing it, and then took a sack instead. This is a basic read that a rookie would be criticized for not making. And Deshaun Watson is years into his career on a giant sum of money and is still making mistakes like that. You can't get by with that kind of quarterback play.
Sam Munson is our guest as we wrap it up. What a humbling loss for the Texans. I know they're on the road. I didn't think the Vikings would be this good with Sam Darnold. They look fantastic. They're very efficient. The ball's coming out quick. Guys are catching it in stride. The yak is amazing here. I just thought the Texans were a more formidable opponent. The Texans were shut out in the first, second, and fourth quarter overall.
Yeah, and I think they are more formidable than that. But right now, Brian Flores' defense has an absolute hex over these Kyle Shanahan offenses. He's done it to Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers twice, two seasons in a row now. He just did it to Bobby Slowick and Houston's version. He had both Brock Purdy and then C.J. Stroud absolutely in a blender with this defense. I think Flores' defense is really good generally. You know, it's had an upgrade in personnel from last season. I think the Vikings defense is going to be legit this season. But in particular, it seems to really cause problems for that Shanahan offense like really no other defense in the NFL has. Against basically every other system, the Shanahan scheme is better. It has the ascendancy. It's got the advantage. But against Flores, it just runs into a defense that it can't pick apart and it can't diagnose. And that was a huge part of that. You have to also give credit to the Vikings offense, which was able to still keep cooking despite Houston's defense being really good. But I think generally, you know, that was an indication of how good the Vikings are more than a problem or an indication that the Texans are sort of fool's gold.
When you looked at the tape with the Broncos, did they find something with Bo Nix as a rusher and a thrower in the game overall? Because their defense completely dominated Baker Mayfield in that 26-7 win.
Yeah, their defense was great, and Bo Nix was definitely much better this week. He's a lot more athletic than I think people gave him credit for coming out of the draft, and we've seen that with, you know, leading the team in rushing the first couple of weeks. He was leading the team in rushing for a lot of this game as well until late on, and that's definitely buying him some breathing room. It's letting him make some plays with his legs and not have to do everything passing, and it meant that in a game like this, he was able to have a pretty good performance, certainly his best of the season.
Last one, Sam, the Seahawks, 3-0, 2-0 at home. They dismantled the Dolphins, who was shut out second, third, and fourth quarter, only got a field goal in the first quarter there. Should we keep an eye on the Seahawks here? Because I didn't think their defense would be this dominant.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is the impact that scheme can have. Mm. You know, they Pete Carroll's a really good coach and a really good defensive mind, but I think that group had kind of gotten a little bit stale and maybe a little bit, you know, the message just stops resonating after a while when you've heard the same thing over and over again. Now you've got Mike McDonald coming in, bringing new, fresh ideas. The defensive scheme that might be on the cutting edge now, it might be overtaking the Fangio defense as the scheme that everyone really wants to have. And it's completely rejuvenated, certainly that defensive front. The secondary is continuing to look fantastic off the back of it. And, yeah, I think that's going to be one of the best defenses in the league this year.
Thank you, Sam. We'll listen to the podcast. We'll tweet it out. Really appreciate you every Monday.
Anytime. Take it easy, guys.
Got it. Sam Munson from the 33rd team. We go around the league with him, and we will continue to do that every week because I need to talk NFL. Okay? It's Raider Nation Radio. No. I do a national show whenever I'm on. We're on nationally on this app. We're going to give as much Raiders as we think, and we're going to go around the league and talk football. There's two games on tonight, everybody. We live in Vegas where everybody's betting, gambling, right? We talk about sports and what's happening here. So the Raiders had a really bad performance. We'll talk about it heavy for today and tomorrow. Then we'll move on for Cleveland. He just told you, Cleveland's a mess. If Cleveland came in 2-1, just destroying teams, with a high-potent Deshaun Watson and a defense that was healthy, good luck for the Raiders winning this game. The Raiders catch a break playing Cleveland. They got to take advantage of it, man, because they didn't take advantage of Carolina, and Carolina was no layup. Dodger Raider in Corona, California. Thanks for waiting.
What's up, JT?
What's happening?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Go.
A couple of things. I'm going to start off with some criticism, but I'm going to end this call on a positive note.
Mm-hmm.
First, I think there's plenty of blame to go around to the coach, to the players, to the scheme. I'm not sure if they had a hangover from that Baltimore loss or they looked like they were banged up. And you know what, JT? I'm one of those families that player called about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I saved money for months to take my son, and I surprised him for his birthday. This is our first game, attending our first game ever. Him and I together, and, you know, you spend a lot of money. Yes, we bought a lot of stuff, and I wish the players would take accountability. And I'm not asking for an apology. All I'm asking is for them to acknowledge the fans and say, you know, I've been listening to clips and reading quotes. Mm-hmm. Nobody's mentioned the fans. Nobody said, hey, you know, to the fans, we'll make it right. We got to keep mm-hmm. playing hard. And we'll make it up. You know, I don't get to go to 2-3 games a season, JT.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only game that I'll get to go this season because that's all we can afford.
Okay.
You know, maybe I'll be back next season. But we'll see. Okay, lastly, I just want to say shout out to the Black Hole, man. We went to the March to Victory.
Yes.
And it was awesome. My son loved it. And then we ended up at the Modelo tailgate. And that was super cool, super fun. My son had fun. You know, he had a lot of stuff for families, for the kids, the face painting. He did some cornhole against another young kid from the Carolina Panther fan, and that was cool to see. And it was good, and the stadium is beautiful, man. Like, our overall experience was great, and it was awesome. I just wish the Raiders would have came out and played like they were at home and used the crowd to their advantage because the crowd was hype, man. We were there. Mm. I was one of them. We were pumped up to see the Raiders play, you know, but
yeah.
We'll see. Maybe next time. Like
all
you
right.
said, we got Browns. Let's make it up.
Yeah, again, I appreciate what you said about the Black Hole March to Victory. Mark Jones, who's in charge of the Black Hole, sent me a video in real time when I was on the pregame show in the building, and it looked incredible as they marched over the Hacienda Bridge. And Modelo has a new tailgate experience, which seems to be fantastic. We're live from the torch. We were really excited. Eric Allen and I, right after the pregame show, got called down to the field with Sibley Scholes, and we went on the jumbo board at that time in front of 50,000 people. I mean, most people were in their seats, and we went there, and I said, hey, I'm here for the Brock Bowers first ever game at home. I was really got the crowd going, very excited, and by halftime, I was sitting in my seats. We, you know, two shorts about to play. My wife wanted to watch that with one of my sons, and I'm in this Twitch club at the bar with a bunch of my buddies there who are like, we're leaving. I'm like, what do you mean you're leaving? They're like, well, we're going to give it another quarter. We're out of here. Some guys who weren't real Raider fans, but good friends of mine who were in town for the game, for some concerts, to see the Eagles and all that, and they just couldn't believe how poorly the Raiders played. They played terribly. Very shocked. Very surprised by that. They never showed up. I've mentioned that 30 times already on this broadcast. Vince, is in North Las Vegas. Thanks for holding, Vince. Go ahead.
JT, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Doing good. Yeah, I was at the game yesterday. I also was a part of the march across Hacienda. Mm-hmm. That was a wonderful, fantastic experience. They need to keep on doing that.
Yeah, they
will. That was awesome having the band. But going back to the game, yeah, it was disappointing. I would think it seems like we're just trying to force like a square peg in a circle as far as us trying to establish this run game. I understand you need to be a running team, but I think that's not really what we are. I think our odds are we have better odds at winning at just throwing the ball. We have too many good weapons in Devontae and Bowers and Jacoby and Tucker. And from that and that 97-yard drive, we were pinned at the three. And for us to drive 97 yards, you know, with that deep ball from Minshew to Tucker, I mean, that should be our offense right there in a nutshell. And then it kind of opened up the run. After that play, we did run the ball, but it seems like with the offensive scheme is like get Zeus establish the run.
Yeah.
They're trying to bring that physicality and that toughness, and that's not simply what we are on offense. Mm. Now, as far as the defense, that was a huge shock. The Red Rifle literally walked us down. And he had his way with the Raiders. I thought that was a huge shock, and that took everybody at a loss of words because we expect this defense to be an elite. But I'm not pointing the blame. I don't want to bench Minshew. I can't really put all the blame on Minshew. He played a decent enough game. It was just I think it's the offensive scheme, and Luke Getsy is going to have to look in the mirror.
What do you want? So let me jump in. I got to run here, Vince. Thanks for the call. So I'm not here to defend Luke Getsy. I'm just here to make sure that we give the other side of the equation. I don't like when Luke Getsy runs it back-to-back on any time with this team. Okay, let's get that out of the way. If they're going to run the ball, if they want to run it on first down and see if they can get 5 yards, fine with that. That's football. That's what everybody does. But this team has not proven that they can run the ball. So they shouldn't rely on the run or try to be stubborn to think that they can run it and they're going to run it no matter what until they prove they can run it. Lincoln kind of said something similar when we talked to him on the pregame show, that you got to run a certain amount of plays. You got to limit the amount of plays you have, the runs, simplify it, and then run it in practice until it works. Well, you don't know if it's going to work in practice because you don't go full strength. You don't go full strength against your own team. So the sequence in play calling is a problem. And if you want to go four wide like I do, and the first play is tipped at the line of scrimmage and it's second and 10, and they don't respect your running game and they're going to sit back with a cover two over the top, two high safeties, it's going to be hard. But it shouldn't be hard to get 5 yards of reception or 7 yards of reception, getting the ball out in a quick three-step drop to Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer, Jacoby Myers, and Devontae Adams. I would be passing the ball most of the time going forward here. Now, if Cleveland's close to being 100%, which they're not, but if they are, they got a good pass rush, and you're not going to have a lot of time to set your feet and have a 7-step drop and look all over the field and look for a wide receiver. Doesn't happen. But Cleveland's been banged up, and maybe this is the game where you just go hurry up, fast attack, and get the ball to Devontae. The next time I go to a game and the first 5 plays, 3 of them aren't scripted to Devontae, I'm going to lose my blank. I am. If we can't script the first 3 out of 5 plays in the air to Devontae Adams, I don't know what he's doing here. You got Devontae Adams, period. You got to get the ball to him. There's times where he does not get the football, and they have got to force the ball to him. Now, he's got a couple of drops this year, and he's owned it. He's been asked about it. He's owned it. Devontae even has to play better. Raider Dave, always good to hear from you in Denver. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Unfortunately, I can't watch next week's game. I got Dodger tickets, and I promise my family once a year I'll take them. But I will say this about Luke Getsy. There was a couple of plays in the first game, a couple of plays in the second game, and hardly anything yesterday that surprised me. You know, deception, a run fake, the loop around type of run that roll out that Minshew would do. I didn't see any of that yesterday, and those were some of the most successful plays that they've had in the games past. So I'm really just I'm blown away that, you know, is it like a bull in a china shop? Is it going to be Luke's, you know, way where he's going to throw it sideways, you know, 4 times a game? Or and just not budge. I think if that's the case, then Marvin Lewis has got to take over play calling. I just don't know what's going on here. You got a lot of talent. You're exactly right. And I've been saying for the last few years, get DJ Turner on a five-wide set. Run him and Tucker all the way down and clear out the safeties. Man, you got 35 yards for the other three guys to go ahead and occupy.
Doesn't have time to do it, Dave. The offensive line isn't pass protecting and running.
I get that. And I think that's more than anything else. I think that's why they started Gardner Minshew to give this line time to gel, because I don't think they agreed, or I don't think they thought that this line was good enough for Aiden O'Connell to sit behind it. But at some point, you're probably going to have to bite the bullet, and the quick type of accurate throws are going to have to come from O'Connell versus Minshew when you're going to have to get these slants and 10-yard outs to get first downs and march it down the field.
Yeah, that's fair. Appreciate the call. The offensive line isn't playing well. The quarterbacks aren't elite. You need a spark. You go with Aiden O'Connell. If you want to give Gardner Minshew a game, I give him one more game. Does everybody have that now so someone can clip it on my show and put it on a website? Let's do this again in 3, 2, and 1. If you need a desperate spark to save the season, go with Aiden O'Connell now. If that's the spark, because you're only going to get one spark with him. I thought you'd maybe need it week 6, week 7. You now need it. So if you want to go with the spark, go with Aiden O'Connell. If Gardner has a good week of practice and shows that he is healthy, ready to play, and he's better in this matchup against Cleveland, I'd give him one more game. Real simple stuff here, man. This is like third grade math. Gardner gets one more game or he doesn't get any games, and you go with Aiden O'Connell. And if you want Aiden O'Connell, he better be ready to play and win. Because if you're going to use him once and he doesn't get you the spark, you wasted the spark. So you figure it out. I'm going to do the pregame show no matter who the quarterback is. I like Gardner's mobility against Cleveland and Baltimore. Already beat Baltimore. He had a great final 12 minutes. Cleveland, I think he's going to have to be mobile. The coaches will make that decision coming up. Hey, thanks to Modelo. They threw an unbelievable remote for us on Friday at Whiskey Stadium. We had a great crowd there. The Black Hole all showed up. They were fantastic. Appreciate all my friends from the Black Hole who came. All the staff from Modelo was fantastic. Thanks to Whiskey Stadium and all the other listeners who showed up along the way and said hello. It meant a lot to me. My friends came and they were impressed because we had a great turnout. Thanks to everyone who attended. I really appreciate you for that.
No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
Well, that's the viral moment, business decisions, from Antonio Pierce. We're always thrilled to have Mark Anderson on, one of the great journalists in all of Southern Nevada, the state of Nevada, Vegas, and Mark, take me through the last two press conferences, one at the stadium where he said the business decision, and then the one earlier today at team headquarters. What'd you think of both of them?
No, he didn't back off. I mean, he had the chance to sort of back off a little bit of what he said yesterday. He didn't do it. So, and he made it pretty clear a number of times that they're going to make some decisions, and they're going to talk to the players first before they go public with any of them. But I think there's going to be some changes. So it could be personnel changes. You get the message across that, you know, you've got to play hard every time you're out there. There's no backing off.
Yeah, you know, Mark, what's interesting to me is I think there's only so many changes he can make because of the lack of depth on this team. You know, so for the defensive side, we're trying to figure out, is he talking about receivers not finishing routes or guys not pursuing the ball? My takeaway from my role was I don't think a lot of guys pursued the ball on defense to the level of his liking. So I was sensing, and I could be wrong, that he was probably calling out the defense a little bit more than the offense because he's a defensive head coach. What do you think?
I think you're right. And he made the point today that he wasn't happy with the effort on that side of the ball. And you know, he's kind of given an out, well, Max Crosby's far from 100%. And he said it doesn't matter if Crosby's 100% or not. You can still go out. The other 10 still have to go out there and play. And he clearly wasn't happy with that side of the ball. So I think you're right. I think it's more the defensive side. I also agree. He is limited what he can do, especially with these injuries. Now it looks like Epps is gone for the year. Kuz is gone for the year. Crosby, as we mentioned, is currently not healthy. And then, you know, offensively, I think they got some major issues there that I don't know how you solve quickly.
Yeah, so the offensive issues seem to be pinned down to Luke Getsy and the lack of rhythm with the offense there. And if they go 3-and-out, that to me isn't on Getsy. If they go 3-and-out, that's all execution. Unless they run it 3 times. And sometimes if they run it 2 times, I'll be critical of that if the run doesn't work on first down. But if they try to run it on first down and don't get much, and then a ball gets tipped or someone drops it, or if it's pass defended on all that, now you're staring there at 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9, and if you don't get it, you're 3-and-out. They might not get the ball for 6-7 minutes later. Doesn't that put a lot of pressure on the offense when they have all these 3-and-outs?
Yeah, and I guess he certainly can be criticized. I think at times his game plan is a little bit conservative. Mm. But, I mean, you look at what he's dealing with. That offensive line, they just lost another offensive lineman yesterday, Darren Mufford. Mm-hmm. Jackson Powers Johnson still is, you know, they're still trying to work him out. Colton Miller doesn't look like the same player as before. You know, so they're banged up in that offensive line. And they have, as a result, they have no running game. And then, you know, the quarterback, I mean, Gardner Mitchell's kind of who we thought he is. You know, like, he's going to look pretty good at times, and other times not so good, you know, but he's not, no one's confusing him for a real franchise quarterback. So I think he's limited in what he's working with. Yes, there are things he can do to maybe open the game plan a little bit more, but until they get that running game going, I think they're in trouble, and I think Zamir White is fine. I have no issues with him. I just think he's just not getting any blocking up front. And maybe if things start getting a little bit healthy in the offensive line, that will change a little bit, but it's just not happening right now.
Yeah, Mark Anderson's our guest from the AP. So what's your sensing? You've been around Devontae enough now. I don't have a problem with him not getting up fast from the bench as the half ends. You know, it's not your requirement to run to the locker room there, but you know, everyone's looking at Devontae's body language, and they look at his targets and his receptions. Then you throw in a couple of drops in the last couple of games, but he was magnificent closing out the game in Baltimore. And in this game, he wasn't much of a factor because the Raiders didn't have the ball much.
Devontae's always going to get extra scrutiny just because of what he said in the past. That's kind of opened him up to that. You know, comments he's made in the offseason, comments he's made during the season, too, that the people are going to take an extra look at him that wonder, is he really happy? And I don't think that storyline's going to go away. So people are going to look at his body language more than the other receivers, more than really any of the other players, because they know there's a good chance that by the trade deadline, he might be getting sent somewhere else, and he might be completely fine with that happening. So I think that's just going to be something people look at is extra hard, is to see, you know, what's he thinking now? What kind of vibe is he giving off? And I just think that comes with the territory with him.
Yeah, Mark Anderson's our guest. You know, Mark, I think this is a playoff game coming up. It really is for both teams. Whoever loses this game is probably finished in regards to the compelling hope of getting to the playoffs. There's going to be a lot of football left, but I went through the list of 1 and 2 teams, and either the Raiders or Cleveland, who are both 1 and 2, one of them is going to be 2 and 2, the other is going to be 1 and 3. It just feels like there's so much on the line, and I'm happy that the Raiders get the game at home. Because they laid such an egg at home, they owe the fans a better performance. I think the fans are going to get it. I think the Raiders understand the gravity of this. But Cleveland comes in almost as desperate as 0-2 Carolina was, searching for their first win, and Cleveland was supposed to be a good football team this year.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And how often do you see it with NFL teams that after they get embarrassed, they come out and play one of their better games the next week? And I'm with you. I think you're going to see a much different effort from the Raiders. You know, the execution is another matter. Will they be able to execute properly? But I think you won't see the effort you got yesterday, at least. I think you're going to see a team that fights similar like they did to Baltimore. They're going to fight to the end. Cleveland's division is a really tough division. Pittsburgh's 3-0 somehow. Baltimore, we know, is not a real 1-2 team. We know they're much better than that. We know Cincinnati's not a real 0-2 team. So we know all three of those teams are going to be in playoff conversation we're still deep into the season. So Cleveland knows it needs to start winning. So I think you're right. I think they're going to be pretty desperate coming in.
Mark, lastly, as a journalist, with the awards you've won and the respect you get, when you hear the coach say that about the business decision, how should we handle that? Because I like it. I like, because if you're going to have cigar parties and alumni in the winning locker room and celebrate the victories, you can't have it both ways. You need a coach who's going to get emotional from time to time and not be happy with the performance of the players. Or do you believe there should be a code where he doesn't bring that up the way he did?
Yeah, I know a lot of coaches probably wouldn't go public with that. But I don't think it's a bad thing to let everyone know that there's a line here, and we're gonna hold players to that line. He has opened things up a lot of ways, given the players a lot more freedom. But he also has made it pretty clear from the beginning that there are also expectations that come with that.
Mm-hmm.
And he those expectations clearly weren't met yesterday. And so I have no issue with him going public and saying that. If the players can't handle it, well, then that's on them. It's called not for long week for a reason. So I think especially the veteran players will take it for what it is, and I think they'll mostly respond pretty well, and we'll see what happens to the younger guys.
So should we be more concerned about the injuries to this team mounting now? What do you believe that Telesco wants to do in regards to getting a defensive end, or maybe has to go out and find a safety here, or is he just going to go to the practice squad? I mean, these are make-or-break decisions that could cost the Raiders a game that could give them momentum to win 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I mean, I think I can see him trying to bring in some outside help, at least for one of those spots, probably defensive line. I think they could probably use some help at end. I think Max will be fine eventually, but how long will it take him to get there? Does he need a week or 2 weeks? I don't know. I mean, we saw what he did last season. He played hurt pretty much the entire second half of last season and was great. So it may just be a matter of he just kind of needs to get used to pain or playing like that again with that kind of pain and just kind of dealing with it. But not having Kuntz is just a killer. And then, yeah. Tyree Wilson still, he has moments where he does something that reminds you why he was a first-round pick, but it's just – they're just too far in between, so it's. I think they need help there. I think Isaiah Polamalu may do okay at safety, so we'll have to see. So, but I think that he needs to at least look at the defensive line for help.
Absolutely, I agree with that. Pretty much everything you said. Thanks, Mark. Good seeing you. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, JT.
You got it. Mark Anderson, great journalist. Good to have him on the show. One of our several insiders here on the flagship of the Silver and Black as we continue on. I mean, imagine, I'm sitting here today and I never imagined doing this type of show. They could have lost a game. You win or lose. I'm out here. Good teams lose games. But the way they lost the game is just mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. And the coach said it. And the coach had his press conference and he was very detailed on that. Tom Pelissero from NFL Network 28 minutes ago. Raiders safety Marcus Epps suffered a torn ACL in Sunday's loss to the Carolina Panthers, per source. Brutal news for Las Vegas and Epps, a team leader who has started every game since signing last year. No other damage, so he'll be ready in 2025. He's set to be a free agent in March. So we'll wait for the Raiders to clarify everything, right? But Tom Pelissero is a big-time insider. Big insider, and that's his reporting. And you need to hear his reporting on the flagship of the Raiders when it comes to Marcus Epps. That'll be Isaiah Polamalu stepping up in the depth of the safety position, where I don't think there's a lot of depth, but Polamalu's a good player. Raider O in San Diego, what's happening?
Hey, JT, how's it going, man?
Good.
Rough day for Raiders fans. Mm-hmm. I almost went out there for my daughter's birthday, but I was also having some financial issues, and it would have been a rough drive back. But, I do feel we can get this next game. I want to put it in X's and O's. I think defensively, Eric Allen already touched on it. As good as Andy Dalton may have been feeling, we didn't move him off his spot at all. I think the inability to generate pressure without Max was maybe the biggest failure on defense, and that really led to everything else. If you're making it as easy as you can for a guy to throw throws he's capable.
So what do you want to do? You want to blitz more? Or you want to rip the blitz apart? The ball was coming out quick. I don't think blitzing would have worked. What do you want to do? You want the players to get more of a pass rush. I'm good with that, but what do you want to do? You want to blitz more and get burned off blitzes?
I really feel, JT, it was a player effort. You know, not named Christian Wilkins, you know, on the defensive line. You've got to step up, you know. Guys are going to go down, as you've already said. Across the league, guys are down. They're either out of the game or they're in the game or they're playing hurt. And it's a sport where everyone's going to be playing hurt at one time or another. So defensively, you know, we need to see more from these professional players on the defensive line. Great job. We did have a couple of pressures. But, again, when there's no pressure, it's easy for the receivers to get downfield and get behind our linebackers. And you know, it's not just that the middle's open. It's that there's too much time. Offensively, you know, when you're looking at it from TV, it was you don't have the full perspective of what's going on downfield. But I felt, yes, at times, Jadeveon Clowney, J.C. Horn, the guys on the Panthers were playing well. But there was other times where it seemed like, even though you know, it wasn't the best O-line play, there was time for Garner. He was escaping. He had the ball. He's looking downfield. There's nowhere to go with the ball. So, again, watching on TV, you can't really see what was failing there. But, you know, are guys not getting open, or is the play design not letting it open if there's four or five receivers? Okay. Probably not finding somebody. Anyways.
All right. Thanks for checking in, man. Appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I saw Devontae open a bunch because you can't see that on TV. If they don't have the camera isolated on Devontae, you're not going to see Devontae open 15, 16 yards down the field. But to the credit of the fans who were at the game or watched on TV, they don't have a lot of time to throw. They just don't with this whole line. If you don't have time to set your feet and throw, how often have I been calling for the sprint option for Gardner Minshew to roll right fast and decide if he's going to run or not on third and short or take a shot, on second and short, take a deep shot, but let the quarterback sprint outside the pocket away from some of the pressure and see if he can make a play? And it's some bad football teams, everybody. And you could say the Raiders are a bad football team after getting boat raced by Carolina. I'm good with that. But look around. Tonight, you're going to see the Jaguars. I don't think they're going to win in Buffalo. They're going to be 0-3. We see the Jaguars on our schedule. Jaguars are 0-3 now, and we see them at the end of the year. That could be a win that was not expected. Same thing for New Orleans. We play New Orleans between Christmas and New Year's. Where are they going to be? They look pretty bad the last time I looked at them. And then the other teams that we get on the schedule, the Browns are coming in limping and banged up. We know that. We're going to get a game that I think is very winnable, two of them against the Broncos. Add two more to the list. Denver thinks they're going to split or win two. We're definitely going to see the Steelers, who are winning in 3-0, but they don't score much. They don't score much, so they're going to be tough. We're facing the Buccaneers. They just lost to the Broncos 26-7 in their building. We play in their building. And we get the Dolphins later this year, a trip I'm going on. The Dolphins are 1-2. We beat the Ravens, who are 1-2. I'm telling you, there's some optimism and some hope here, but people can't understand it because they just watch such a bad football game. And I'm not spinning anything. I don't get paid to win. I get paid to report. But I want the Raiders to win every time they play. And this game against Cleveland is a must-win. They have to win this game. 2-2 will look unreal and great if they can do it, but they're going to have to play an excellent game and coming off their worst game of the year.
Comes out to the high slot, set off the lefty, sticks it in front, they score! Like a shot, but it really was a pass. Set off the left point to Cal Burke in the crease. And it's Cal Burke out of Notre Dame to give the Golden Knights a 1-0 lead.
Golden Knights are back. That's our buddy Dan Duva on the call. JT, as we get through this aftermath Monday, I'll be on Mad Dog Sports Radio from Wynn, live from Wynn Resort, there at the SiriusXM studios. From 4 to 7, so I get about a 45-minute break. Then I head down there to the Strip. I'll be back home at 7, and then the lights are off. Let's sleep, and I'm going to catch up. Sunday, Mondays are pretty exciting around here. And we're going to get Harry Ruiz on this week. He's the voice of USC on the Latino side and the Raiders and what he does there. So Marcus Epps, there's several reports that he's gone for the year. with the ACL injury. So if you would have told me before the start of the year, before our second home game, that we'd have Malcolm Kuntz and Marcus Epps gone for the year, I'd be, oh boy, those are two of our best players. I'm not saying they're elite, they're not Pro Bowlers, but Kuntz can develop into a Pro Bowler, and Epps is a pretty good player here in the league. So that's not good. Next man up, there's a lot of injuries. The Raiders, I don't like the injury report. I think there are several players banged up, and they're going to have to play through it. And this week's going to have to be a physical practice on top of it. I think that's going to be really hard to get to, no matter how this plays out. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm not going to sit here and predict injuries overall, because I never predict injuries. But when the news breaks that a guy's gone for the year, we wish them and their family nothing but the best. Ira in Nashville. Thanks a lot for holding. Ira, go ahead.
Thank you very much, JT, for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I know it's early in the season, and it was a very disappointing loss yesterday. Mm-hmm. But if you look, I know it's early. I know it's early in the season, but we're the seventh seed if the playoffs ended today. And I know you don't want to talk about the end of the season, but there's optimism there that we're the seventh seed in the AFC, depending on the outcomes of this Monday night game, but the Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals. But we're the seventh seed in the AFC. I still got hope, JT.
Well, I mean, you should have hope if they beat Cleveland. That's what the show's been about today, and thank you for checking in. There's not a lot of hope if you don't beat a bad Cleveland team that's banged up after losing to the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to do the show either way, and I'm going to have a lot of energy and be excited and hope they win every game, every game. But I don't know how you're going to have a lot of hope if they lose back-to-back home games and they can't beat Carolina and Cleveland with all of Cleveland's injuries. I don't know what to tell you there. It's going to be hard, really hard to turn it around. That's why the pressure on this week's practice and performance on Sunday is going to be sky high. I hope some fans come into this game at Allegiant Bobby pissed off. I really do. I mean, I don't want them pissed off at me when they come up to the torch and they have a drink, but I want to see them on their feet and riled up for this game. North CTM RIP? North City Rip. North City Rip. You got it, buddy. What's happening? Thanks for calling.
Northside Rip, JT.
Northside Rip. Thank you.
Yeah, North Las Vegas. I've been a lifelong Raider fan. There's a school in North Las Vegas called the Quantum McCall Raiders. Mm-hmm. My dad went there, and we've been Raider fans ever since. But I'm a season ticket holder also. I was at the game yesterday. My opinion on this whole thing is Minshew and Garoppolo are basically the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The defense isn't going to respect you if you can't air out a deep ball. They're going to put eight or nine guys in the box. It's going to make your offensive line look like it's all on them. You know, the intermediate routes are no good either if you got eight or nine guys. They're right there to defend it. We need O'Connell back. They've got to respect the deep ball. If the team respects the deep ball, it opens up the run a little bit. You know, this team is they're emotional. You know, they're carried by the defense. We'd be 0-3 if it wasn't for Spillane and that play he made in the Baltimore game. You know, so that's where I'm at with it. You know, I why not give the kid a chance?
I'm okay with that. As you said, it's not my job. Thank you for the call, but you just did part of my job. I put you on the radio, which I really appreciate, and I appreciate the fact that you listen and have an opinion. I cannot sit here on Monday as an employee of the team and root for the benching of the starting quarterback. That's not what I do. Okay? So for those who don't get it, don't listen to me. I'm dead serious. If you don't understand that, I hope you listen to something else or go listen to our show in the morning and listen to their podcast if you want instead of me. I will say this again. I am not here to call on the firing of a coach, the benching of a quarterback. But I made it clear, if you want the spark, you're only going to get one spark. You act like you're going to light fires all over Allegiant Stadium, week 7, week 11, week 14. No, you get one spark. And if that spark is now, because you have to beat Cleveland, and the film looks like Aiden's going to do a better job, I'm all for Aiden O'Connell to be the quarterback. But that's going to be discussed on Wednesday after practice. Now, here's something interesting. Wednesday at practice, they could wheel out Aiden O'Connell as the starter. And if they do, we'll report on that. good show today. Appreciate everybody hanging in there. It was a tough loss. I think it's the worst loss I've seen in Vegas for the Raiders, period. And hopefully we don't see another one like that again. You got Q coming up next with a great show. I'll be 4 to 7 on Mad Dog Sports Radio. If you have SiriusXM, it's Channel 82. And we got busy shows the rest of the week. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you miss any portion of the show, lvsportsnetwork.com. And check out the YouTube channel if you haven't been on that yet, JT the Brick YT. Have a great day.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.